Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. You know how Donald Trump first ran his campaign on setting up a deportation force? He campaigned saying not only were Mexicans rapists and drug dealers and things like that, but that he was actually going to empanel a deportation force to go door to door with ICE officers and others and actually round up people and send them out of the country by force.
We are going to triple the number of ICE deportation officers. Within ICE, I am going to create a new special deportation task force focused on identifying and quickly removing the most dangerous criminal illegal immigrants in America who have evaded justice.
Candidate Donald Trump on the campaign trail in 2016 noticed that he said criminal illegal aliens. Even with that, few people thought he would actually put together a deportation force. Well, with all the other news about the election this week and the mass shooting in Texas and other things, you might have missed this. Thousands of people just got the notice from the Department of Homeland Security that they have to leave the country by January of 2019. Those people are immigrants without criminal records who came here from Nicaragua before Hurricane Mitch devastated that country in 1999. That's how long the people we're talking about have been here. This decision came down on Monday. It would end what's called their temporary protected status, which has allowed them to live here legally for these couple of decades already, just about, and it is being seen as a trial run to possibly deport hundreds of thousands more from Latin America and the Caribbean. Let's talk about it. This may be the first you're hearing about it. Joining me now to discuss the specifics and to offer advice to those who may be at risk for losing your protected temporary status are Anu Joshi, Immigration Policy Director at the New York Immigration Coalition, and Heather Axford, Senior Staff Attorney at the Central American Legal Assistance. Welcome to WNYC, Anu and Heather.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Anu, why Nicaragua and why now?
Well, we should first acknowledge that this was not the first negative decision that DHS made. Back in September, they also announced that they were terminating TPS for people from Sudan. And there are about 1,000 people from Sudan who live in the U.S. right now, many of whom have also lived here for decades, have U.S. citizen kids, just like Nicaraguans. And the reasons, or the justification, I guess I should say, that DHS gave for terminating and saying that they could safely return to their country was laughable at best and cruel at worst. And the same is true for Nicaragua. You know, we know that there's a little bit over 300,000 people currently living in the United States that have this temporary protected status. They are homeowners, they are workers, they have 275,000 U.S. citizen children. And the decisions by this administration, quite frankly, are shameful. These are people who are neighbors, they go to school with us. And really, this is just one more, you know, policy attempt by this administration to attack the legal to attack legal immigrants.
Probably the group that's best known in the New York area that has temporary protected status is Haitians who were here before the 2010 earthquake, and they were allowed to stay longer legally than they would otherwise have been because of the conditions there after the earthquake. That's been getting renewed, and now they're going to decide whether they're one of the next groups to go, 50,000 Haitians here legally. But Heather Axford, maybe you can describe to our listeners who aren't familiar with it what temporary protected status is. Where did this originate as an immigration status? And it does include the word temporary.
Sure. Temporary protected status was enacted by Congress in 1990 as a way to provide humanitarian, sort of limited humanitarian protection from removal for immigrants in the United States whose countries are not able to safely repatriate them because of armed conflicts, environmental disasters, or sometimes even health epidemics. The Ebola virus was a basis for TPS at one point. In addition to the Haitians, two other major TPS groups in the New York area are the Salvadorans, who have had TPS since 2001 because of a devastating earthquake there, and then the Hondurans, who also had TPS since 1999 because of devastation from Hurricane Mitch.
And that's like 86,000 Hondurans is the number that I've read.
Yes, it's huge, and even more Salvadorans. I mean,
so 200,000 Salvadorans. Yeah.
So they made a decision now on the Nicaraguans and said they'll decide on the Hondurans within 6 months. So all those people, tens of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands if you include the Salvadorans, are suddenly nervous when they thought they were here legally. But I guess the argument that the Trump people would make is, okay, that was temporary protected status anew, and it was for the period of time after Hurricane Mitch, after the earthquake in Haiti, whatever it is, and now that emergency has passed, so why let there be bloat sort of in what this immigration status is and let these people think that, you know, just because they had temporary protected status, that it means the government's never going to revisit that status?
I think there's a couple of different answers. One, you know, we just had the 5-year anniversary of Superstorm Sandy here in New York. And as a region, we still haven't recovered. So to think that a place like Haiti, which not only suffered devastation in 2010, but subsequent cholera outbreaks, subsequent hurricanes, is ready to repatriate 50,000 people is just not true. And, you know, we know that the situation on the ground in Honduras is incredibly violent, especially for women, and it's not safe to return people back to those countries, to those conditions. I think the second thing is, as you've noted, many of these people have been here for decades. They have families here. They are workers here. And the fundamental nature of the relationship to the United States has changed. And to ignore that, I think, is foolish. We know that here in New York, we would lose almost $1.5 billion immediately in GDP if we removed if the TPS was terminated for El Salvador, Honduras, and Haiti. So this isn't just about TPS recipients, although their families are here, they would leave 275,000 U.S. children behind. It's also about our economy and, you know, what it will do to our workforce. In Suffolk County, there's about 3,000 homes owned by TPS recipients. You know, we already have a high level of zombie homes, you know, this idea that we're going to just yank these people out. They're not going to be able to pay their mortgage. So it will have a huge impact on banking. So I think we need to look at this holistically. And so there's many reasons why it's, you know, not the right thing to do.
Listeners, I wonder if anybody out there right now has temporary protected status. There are many Haitians, at least in our area, who have it. We have we love our Haitian listeners, and when you call in on all kinds of things, call in on this. If you're a Haitian New Yorker, Haitian New Jerseyan here on TPS, or anybody else from any of the other TPS countries, 212-433-WNYC, or anyone else at all, 212-433-9692 for Anu Joshi, Immigration Policy Director at the New York Immigration Coalition, and Heather Axford, Senior Staff Attorney at Central American Legal Assistance. Let's talk about how this works a little bit. The effective date of termination of the temporary protected status of Nicaraguans is January 5th, 2019, to give the 2,500 individuals time to, quote, provide for them to seek an alternative lawful immigration status in the United States if eligible, or if necessary, arrange for their departure. according to Homeland Security's press release from Monday. Heather, that sounds like there's a path that they would like to make available to other legal status for a lot of those folks. Does it sound like that to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the best move for people who have TPS right now. I mean, they need to be thinking sort of both defensively and offensively. Defensively in the sense that they really should be getting screened. The New York City government has funded a screening program called Action NYC, where immigrant New Yorkers can go and get screened for what other more permanent relief they may be available for, that may be available to them. These are folks who've been here for many years. Over that time, they may have, close U.S. citizen family members that might petition for them. Maybe they were the victim of a crime and cooperated with law enforcement such that they're eligible for a U visa. They should know what else they may be eligible for, and that's the best case scenario because that is permanent relief for these individuals. And I suspect many of them may be eligible for other relief.
And for the others, Anu, the Homeland Security language is really chilling. It says, or if necessary, arrange for their departure. Do they expect hundreds or thousands of Nicaraguan Americans who've been here since the 90s to go line up at deportation centers?
Honestly, I'm not sure what they expect. I do know that if you have U.S. citizen children here, it's not realistic, and we can't expect that they're going to willingly leave their kids behind and go back to a country they haven't lived in for 20 years where they don't have any kinds of support or resources. There are bills that have been introduced in Congress that would help provide a permanent legislative solution that, you know, there are a lot of people, unfortunately, that have no alternative forms of relief. Many people from Sudan, of the 1,000 that were terminated, they have no other options to apply to try to legalize their status. So, you know, we try to be as optimistic as possible in this Congress. It's tough to imagine anything getting passed, but there have been bills that have been introduced that would put TPS recipients on a road to citizenship.
Let's take a phone call. Here's Katia in Mawa. Katia, you're on WNYC. Thanks so much for calling.
Hi. My husband and I, we own a landscaping company.
Uh-huh.
We have two employees, one from El Salvador, another from Honduras, who has a TPS protection. And this year particularly was very hard to find people who wants to work in things like landscaping or working with the hands. It's very, very hard, and we are just worried for the next season. Where are we going to find employees?
What would you say to the Trump nationalists who would argue specifically that there are a lot of unemployed native-born Americans, and if more immigrants are forced to leave the country, then Americans will take those jobs. There's just enough desperation out there, even for landscaping jobs.
They don't want to take these jobs. They don't want it. We try it. We put advertising on newspapers. They don't want it. Or if they want it, they stay for a week or two, and then they quit because it's hard.
Katia, your employees who have TPS from Honduras and El Salvador, have you talked to them yet about this new announcement from the Trump administration? Are you hearing their plans or their fears?
No. Because I was listening to you, I just noticed they probably haven't received the letter yet.
Yes. Well,
and
I think
they have families. They have kids here.
Thank you so much for telling us a little bit about your story and their story. My two guests are sitting here wide-eyed. Mm-hmm. Heather?
Oh, I'm just thinking of how much our elected officials need to hear from people like this caller. I mean, what's important, particularly people like Representatives Dan Donovan or Peter King, who have very large TPS communities in their districts, while folks with TPS can't vote, they're not living in a bubble. These are people who are fully integrated into their communities. Their employers can vote, their family members, their people they go to church with, their coworkers, and that's what's powerful about this group. And I have to encourage people like this caller to really get involved and make their voices heard to our elected officials.
And just so as not to unduly alarm Katia or her employees, especially because this program is the first she's hearing about this, She said her employees are Honduran and Salvadoran with TPS status. She said they haven't gotten their notification yet from Homeland Security. The current revocation of TPS status only applies to people from Nicaragua at the moment. So would people from Honduras, people from El Salvador here legally under the TPS program be getting some kind of notification from the government at this time?
Right now, the only announcement that has been made about Honduras is they don't yet have enough information to come to a decision. They need 6 more months to come to a decision. Acting Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, Elaine Duke's announcement, I think she had some really troubling language about where she may end up in 6 months, but no determination has been made. And we have had no announcement yet about Salvadorans. And I think Anu has sort of mentioned this. Ultimately, what they're supposed to be doing is deciding whether these countries, every 18 months, they have to determine whether these countries can safely repatriate their citizens. As a factual basis, the circumstances in these countries have not improved in the past 18 months, and any determination that it has, I think, would have a really hard time finding factual basis to support it, which isn't to say they won't come to that conclusion. But we do need to continue to remind elected officials to put pressure on the Department of Homeland Security to really look at the facts on the ground. I mean, the Trump administration has been very focused on violence in Central America, so it does seem strange to say that all of a sudden they're ready to take several hundred thousand people back.
Joseph in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joseph.
Good morning, Mr. Bryan. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you.
You're welcome. I've been listening to you for a long time, and I'm really a good listener of you. I'm just calling regarding to begging the Trump administration if they could overlook of the reinstatement of the TPS, because there's a lot of Haitian right now families that suffering from that, hearing that they're going to either cancel it by January 19, and right now Haiti is going through a lot of political turmoil right now. This family, they have no way to go because there is no stability yet. After the earthquake, they still have people sleeping in the street. They still have some issue that hasn't resolved yet. And I'm begging Mr. Trump to please take a look at those little children that like 5, 6 years old. And we here, we hardworking people, Haitian people work. We do all kind of job, from healthcare, from taking care of elderly, taxi drivers. We hardworking families. So I'm just begging the administration, please, see what they could do for us.
Joseph, you're breaking my heart coming on the program as a longtime listener, first-time caller, and begging the President of the United States to let your friends and neighbors who are here legally stay here. Joseph, thank you very much. And again, not to unduly alarm anybody about what's imminent and what's not, it is imminent for people here from Nicaragua under temporary protected status. Joseph mentioned the January 2019 deadline date. That's only for those Nicaraguans. Joseph, that's not yet for Haitians. No decision has been made on the status of the 50,000 Haitians here under TPS. Just to be clear, so people aren't unduly alarmed, though there is reason to be duly alarmed, which is why we're doing the segment, but not unduly alarmed, Anu.
Well, yes, but there was a decision back in May when John Kelly was still the director, the Secretary of Homeland Security, that extended Haitian TPS for 6 months back in May. And the language that was used in that extension did not give me optimism about what the decision was going to be.
What was the language?
It basically said Haitians should start getting their affairs in order and be ready to return.
Oh, that's pretty direct.
So we're waiting for this Haitian announcement over the week of Thanksgiving, which is, I think, a cruel irony that, right around when families are coming together to celebrate the holidays and be together, DHS might make this announcement that 50,000 people 5,200 or so of which live here in New York, who have 1,900 U.S. citizen children, are going to be returned home.
And so the decision on Haitians is going to come that quickly? It's going to come around Thanksgiving this month?
Yes. And, you know, it could be that they need to leave within 2 months. They could give a year extension. Nobody knows. And so you're also just leaving 50,000 people in limbo with no idea what's going to happen. And I just want to say it's not just we talk a lot about the facts on the ground, and Heather mentioned that. But, you know, you also have to think about what does it do to a country to suddenly repatriate 50,000 people, you know, if they're not ready. It disrupts the recovery that is happening. It exacerbates the food crisis, the housing crisis, the public health crisis, and could potentially destabilize a new government. And if you think about a country like El Salvador, where if you repatriate people here who are supervisors and managers, and you repatriate them and they then force low-income Salvadorans out of their jobs, you know, it's going to destabilize the region, and it's not going to be good for U.S. foreign interests.
Listeners, if you're just joining us, we're talking about the first announcements from the Trump administration that are actually aimed at getting rid of thousands of legal immigrants, forcing thousands of legal immigrants to leave the country by revisiting what's called temporary protected status, which has been given to people from various Central American countries after Hurricane Mitch back in 1999. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of people from various Central American countries, the first 2,500 of whom have gotten letters already saying their temporary protected status is going to be revoked. Those are the ones from Nicaragua, with El Salvador and Honduran and others to be revisited, and also Haitians here under temporary protected status, as we were just discussing, since the earthquake there in 2010. My guests are Anu Joshi, Immigration Policy Director at the New York Immigration Coalition, and Heather Axford, Senior Staff Attorney at Central American Legal Assistance. And also joining us briefly now is Amaha Kasa, founder and executive director of African Communities Together, because as you may or may not know, folks, in May of this year, TPS expired for immigrants from three West African countries, Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone. So Amaha, thank you very much for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for doing this program.
Can you tell us why there was TPS for people from Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone in the first place?
Yes, it was enacted by President Obama in response to the devastating Ebola epidemic that cost thousands of lives and really destroyed the infrastructure and economy of those three West African countries. And so it was enacted in November of 2014.
How many people from there have TPS?
So from the three countries together, it's between 3,000 and 4,000, the last figures that I saw. There were some people who were not renewed for TPS, but somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000.
And so TPS is now expired for all 3,000 or 4,000?
Yes, unfortunately. The initial designation was for 18 months, and then we've campaigned vigorously last year on two different occasions to extend it. We managed to extend it by a total of a year, but after 2.5 years, it expired in May of this year. So that was a decision taken by Jay Johnson, and unfortunately, we think it was the wrong decision. You know, they were very conscious about you know, sort of backlash from conservatives, and we really pushed them on the issues, you know, sort of why is it that you think that people, that these countries could recover from such a devastating epidemic in so little time, when for even shorter crises like an earthquake or a hurricane, you know, it's taken, you know, years, decades to return. And there really weren't good answers. And unfortunately, this just seems to have been part of the less generous approach to humanitarian immigration relief that we've seen over the last years and decades.
So if you're saying that this decision was taken by the Obama administration, than is the Trump administration with the Central Americans and potentially the Haitians doing anything new and different, or are they just getting a bad rap because they're Trump?
Well, I think that they have gone further than any previous administration in kind of canceling the humanitarian basis for immigration relief. This is temporary protected status has been a kind of staple of humanitarian immigration relief in the U.S. for decades. It's been a recognition that, if we can't provide blanket sort of permanent status to people whose countries are not safe to return to, at the bare minimum, we'll give people temporary status and temporary ability to work until conditions stabilize. Even that bare minimum, this administration is turning its back on. And so, as Anu said, we have hundreds of thousands of people from Central America, from Asia, in Nepal, the survivors of the Nepal earthquake, who may join the thousands of West Africans who lost TPS this year. And that is a new thing.
And what is actually happening with the people who lost TPS? Are they showing up voluntarily to deportation centers? Is there a government deportation force to round them up? Are they going underground? What's actually happening with those people?
So we've seen some people who've returned to their countries of origin, but the reality, again, is that it isn't safe, and that there's that there continue to be food crises, the medical infrastructure is devastated, and the economy is devastated. So for many people, if they have family still in a country like Guinea or Sierra Leone or Liberia, they are an economic lifeline. Sierra Leone had a devastating flood in Freetown, the capital, where 20% of the population lives. In August of this year, there were 1,000 dead, and the economic devastation was massive. And so, just beginning to rebuild from Ebola, and then Freetown faces that. So a lot of people are, going into the shadows. They're remaining here in the U.S. We've seen people who had been able to get a job on the books, work, send money home to their families who are in, the zones where they're in, where they might be in danger, and to enable them to buy a little bit of safety and security. And now they have slipped into the ranks of 11 million plus undocumented in the U.S., and it's devastating for them and their community.
Amaha Kasa, founder and executive director of African Communities Together, thank you for giving us a few minutes. And we are going to finish up now with Anu Joshi, Immigration Policy Director at the New York Immigration Coalition, and Heather Axford, Senior Staff Attorney at Central American Legal Assistance. Now that Nicaraguans, 2,500 of them, have been told that they'll be forced to leave the country or find some other way to stay here legally by January of 2019, and Haitians here on TPS status are going to find out around Thanksgiving, as we just learned. So what should people be doing? Last question. Heather, I'll give it to you.
Sure. I mean, I think two things. One, get yourself a legal screening. Go to the New York City government website, go to their Action NYC webpage, make an appointment, find out what you might be eligible for. That is permanent relief, permanent status, that might give you permanent status. On the other hand, we need to be thinking offensively and organizing and making our voices heard and really understanding that this community needs to understand their own political power as integrated members of a community. And that's something that Anu has been speaking to. We need to be doing both at the same time.
Yeah, so call your members of Congress. We need Republicans and Democrats to understand that this is an incredibly important issue that impacts their constituents. Nydia Velasquez has introduced a bill that would provide a permanent solution to the 300,000 TPS recipients, including the West African TPS recipients. And we need people like Dan Donovan and Peter King and Lee Zeldin to get on board and to help us push that bill over the finish line.
Legal advice from Heather Axford, Senior Staff Attorney at Central American Legal Assistance, and political advice from Anu Joshi, Immigration Policy Director at the New York Immigration Coalition. A lot of you I know had no idea about this issue. Actual deportation announcements coming down in recent days with all the other things that have been going on in the news. This probably hasn't bubbled up to as many front pages and as many talk shows and news broadcasts as it could have or should have. Now at least you know a little bit more about this. Thank you both so much for coming in.